So, yeah, let's talk about that shoot, specifically the fake tit shoot. We'll call it that. Okay. That's what it's called from now on. Big fake titty shoot. And I'll let you kind of prod me in that sense where, you know, let's find out about the shoot. Let's inform. Well, I'll tell the backstory and then I'll let you ask the questions. Okay. So the backstory is basically we got a girl from a local agency. And if you reference the profile picture for this podcast, you'll see who I'm talking about. But we selected her weeks ago. And
well, how did you pick her out?
Lately I've been picking blondes. I like blondes, not personally. My personal preference is brunettes, but blondes shoot really, really well against any sort of background as long as they're kind of fair skinned.
Okay.
So the article that I always reference, blondes have more fun in black and white. An article that I wrote way back when on my blogspot.com site also was reprinted on Model Mayhem. It was about how when you have skin tone that has basically the same brightness as the hair,
yeah,
when you start doing that S curve for contrast, both of those things pop at the same time.
Okay.
But the problem is if you have a brunette or a dark hair, black hair, whatever girl, and she has fair skin, you've got basically the issue of very, very dark, you know, it's like having dark wardrobe on very light skin. You're going to lose something.
When it's an issue like that, what do you mean? Do you mean like when you're shooting or when you're retouching?
In the final product. So, I mean, I guess you could say both. I mean, obviously when you're shooting, you have to give consideration to the fact that this girl has very fair skin. And if she has jet black hair, well, my sensor is only going to be able to capture a certain range of that, right? So I'm either favoring the hair
so or she's
I'm
technically favoring the limited. Skin.
Technically very limited.
Okay.
It's basically like putting a black girl next to a white girl.
Okay.
And then trying to shoot both of them at the same time and then trying to get that final picture.
The best out of both.
Yeah, to pop.
Right.
Problem is you're going to lose one of them, right?
Because how do you lose one of them?
Because even though our eyes can see a very, very wide range,
yeah,
sensors, unfortunately, can only capture a middle section of that.
Okay.
Basically, a portion of that. So you're either going to lose the highlights or you're going to lose the shadows. So, for example, if I take a picture of you standing in front of the sun, I either lose the sun and all the background behind you, or I lose you. One or the other.
This is only because I'm so not tan. I have a moon tan right now. That's why.
No, this is not racist at all. You're not that pale. And I'm not talking, you know, I'm not being racist against dark colored or, you know, dark skinned girls, but you know, the reality is.
It's almost
is
that contrast, right? It's like the spectrum.
Exactly. I'll give you a real example. When I shot Kaylee and Liz, right, and that I'm referencing the podcast that was the Model Plus One, right?
If you listen to this and you haven't figured that out, if you heard that podcast, and you can kind of tell, I mean, first of all, how many shoots do you do with two models?
Right.
I mean, it should be fairly obvious.
You'd be pretty ignorant not to figure that was who I was talking about, especially when you put the picture in the profile picture for the podcast. So obviously when I was talking about the model and the Model Plus One, I was talking about Kaylee and Liz. And the real example I wanted to bring up was when I post-processed those two people in that one picture where they're back-to-back.
Yeah.
You remember that picture?
Yeah.
And even the ones where they're standing together, Liz is much more, I didn't think so, but she's much fairer skin compared to Kaylee.
Oh, interesting. Because first of all, when I was there, it looked like they were pretty close. I would have never guessed that was going to be an issue.
And
in real life, they could be related
sisters.
In
people,
a way.
Yeah, people, someone asked me yesterday, I think Jessica yesterday asked me, oh, are they sisters? I said, no, they're just roommates and they, you know, they're friends. And
someone told me, they're like, hey, that girl's picture is great. She thought it was just one girl that you had put together.
That, like, and I was superimposed.
Like, I didn't even correct her. I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I'm like, well, you're either not.
But did you realize that was what she was asking, though? Or he was asking?
Unless they just slipped up and said it in a singular way, like basically saying that picture of that girl was great,
right,
and they liked it, and I was like, oh well, that's it, because it kind of does look like, even when you had the picture of all four, like the
Jessica
four girls.
I think Jessica said that too yesterday. I thought it was the same person.
Yeah,
but I mean, when I was post processing those two people together in that same picture, I actually had to make Liz's skin darker.
Mm-hmm.
In order for me to make those two, because here's the thing, right?
Kaylee's a little more olive, right?
Kittley's much more olive.
Okay.
So what happens is when you start putting that S curve on for contrast,
mm-hmm.
you're stretching all the differences between the nuances in, say, grays. You're making grays that were closer together much farther apart.
Right.
So suddenly, even though Liz isn't that light and Kaylee's not that dark, any sort of contrast that you're adding to that will suddenly stretch that difference between those two skin tones.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, and did you think that was going to be an issue beforehand?
No, like just No. Never. Because, first of all, our eyes see more tones and mm-hmm. we're able to kind of compress things where, you know, two people who aren't that, like, you know, who have similar color skin tones, they look similar and they don't look like they're much different, you know, that far apart. But when to the camera doesn't see that many tones, and to the camera, they do seem more far apart. And then once you're doing it in post-processing and you're trying to add more contrast, then it's going to stretch out even more to the point where basically you could make the argument that after post-processing, Kaylee would have turned out black, Liz would have turned out white.
Right.
And then now you've got a problem where they don't look good together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's too much contrast, especially because they both have brown hair, and I think their feature set is really similar. I wanted them to look more similar than different.
And look like a final product. It almost flowed.
Exactly.
And that's why those pictures, I think when you had the two of them grouped together and then doubling it up, it had that strange flow of, is this one person? Is it two different people that's
been shopped together? The eightsome or the foursome that I put on Instagram, where I doubled, I put two of them together, I mirrored them, and then I mirrored that picture together.
So, and there's another version out there somewhere where it's that doubled. Right, the whole
thing. Yeah, the whole thing doubled.
I don't know
so
if you put it out anywhere.
So basically four sets of them, eight total people. That was a print, and I think, I don't know if that ever made it to Facebook.
It's just kind of cool the way the color flows. Like you see the blues, and then you see their skin tones, and then back to the blues, like as it goes across.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, going back to that blonde, you can basically, you test so much, and you test with a lot of agencies. Why specifically that blonde did you pick out of the package that you got from that agency?
Well, yeah. So specifically going, you know, to finish that story about Liz and Kaylee was, you know, I had to make Liz darker so that Kaylee mm-hmm. and Liz didn't look like they were such different. They had such a difference in skin tone, which is why I don't shoot dark wardrobe on fair skinned girls, which is why I also don't pick dark hair on fair skinned girls, which is why, going back to answer your question, why I've been, I generally like shooting blondes, because I think that when you're lighting for their skin, which is my first and foremost
mm-hmm.
focus, is their skin. Hair is secondary, because if I focus on the hair and I lose the skin, I lose all the feature sets on the face.
Sure.
I lose that tonality on the body. So face first, everything else second is kind of the slogan that I work by. And so when they're blonde, you get these great highlights in their hair when you're trying to pull the contrast for the skin.
I got to phrase it a different way then. Because you can shoot a lot of different blondes. Like you could pick a lot of different blondes to shoot.
Why her?
You know, why her? Because
specifically her.
Because through this process, when we're talking about who shows up and how they look compared to what their book looks like, I feel like that part's important.
Well, let's get really specific. Since this is a $1 podcast anyway, we can talk about who this is and where she's from. So this is Emily Palos from Industry, specifically.
Right.
And didn't I put a picture?
Is that a good idea? I guess. We'll see. We'll find out.
Well, I mean, we'll know of the two people who listened to the first podcast.
Just put one out. There's one out now.
There's a $1 podcast called...
There's one picture of her out now.
Yes, there is one picture of Emily Palos on my Instagram and on my other social mediums. Anyway, and look, she's a nice girl. Very, very nice girl. Compliant. Easy to work with. Didn't have any issues with wardrobe. I mean, I had her in pretty much whatever I wanted her in, and I didn't have any, there's no objections, no pushback.
And so it went how you thought?
It went as well as I thought it would go, except for the fact where she comes through the door with huge fake boobs. And I don't think anybody would deny that they're definitely huge and fake. Because look, I picked her because I thought that she was tall and slender and she had a fashion body.
Right.
I mean, if I had a guess, she's probably rocking an A, B cup.
Beforehand.
Beforehand.
Right.
In all the pictures, we went back and checked, and we checked her entire portfolio. Not a single one of those pictures in her port, her after, after the implant.
It's a tough thing, because it's like, even when we're talking about this, I'm like, ooh, I hope she doesn't hear this. But I also think she's got to know this, that it's making that change, making that decision to do something like that. You have to be aware that people are going
to
know.
She went to a D cup, dude. And I actually
think she has a small frame. It's like she's not a thick girl.
I actually think she could be bigger than a D cup.
And she's in great shape. It looked not cartoonish to me, but very exaggerated.
It was to the point where
ooh, she's not going to like this.
When she, I could only hope that she is contributing this experience to an educational purpose. And well, I hope she doesn't hear this, but I mean, we're not saying anything bad about her.
Hey, she's
really
a nice
more,
girl. She's really pretty. She's
really
gonna
pretty,
be a girl that
nice.
Everyone on the street is gonna turn around and look right. at. Like, we'll stop in their right. tracks. Like, she's that kind of pretty.
Well, unfortunately, we're about to get into some things that I think makes it crosses the line where I think she's probably gonna not want to hear this. But legitimately, all I saw when she walked through to the door, or when the door opened, was I saw boobs, just big, just in my face. Okay. I think they were closer. Standing in front of her, I think her boobs bridged the distance by half. That's how much closer her boobs were to me than the rest of her body. And that is not an exaggeration when they're basically looking like they're... I mean, I felt threatened, because literally I felt like I was in the crosshairs of a very dangerous weapon. And I mean, that's the truth. That's all I saw in the beginning, because they were so... aggressive.
So now what do you do? Now you've seen her, and what's next? How does this change your plan? Or does it?
Well, you have to put your poker face on. You can't let it show, mm-hmm. You can't be like, oh, look at those titties,
Well, I wonder if photographers have. She's been shooting. She shoots
maybe.
All the time.
I mean, maybe to like...
I'd love to hear how the difference between your opinion and other photographers that are shot at recently, if they actually say something.
Because if you were really funny and you could try to brush it off and make it kind of break the ice really fast,
yeah,
maybe you'd do that. Maybe be like, oh my God, look at those titties.
It's a hell of a gamble, though. You bring that up in the beginning,
it
could set the tone the entire
time. You better have some real charisma and real emotional quotient there, because if you botch that, that shoot's not going well.
And if you don't say something too, though, it also is a gamble, because now there's an elephant in the room.
There is, and there. I think there was an elephant in the room for the most part of that shoot.
And that's, oh, okay, yeah. Well,
I mean, the whole time I'm thinking, not the whole time, at least for the first 5 minutes, I was very curious about how I picked this girl.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, how did this happen? I would have never picked her if I saw such huge fake tits. Fake tits to me are just, it's a huge turnoff.
You get enough,
in real life and in pictures.
You get enough submissions from girls that will be all walks of life and tons of plastic surgery. And I feel like this isn't something you would choose to shoot for your style.
We get a lot of glam, models that want to shoot, and that's one of the biggest things is when you have the fake boobs, it almost automatically catapults you into glamour.
Mm-hmm.
It's so hard to come back from that. It's like basically having a third eye on your forehead. And
it's a distraction for sure.
Massive.
Yeah.
Massively so. And then, I mean, all the other things where, the wardrobe doesn't fit and now we can't put her in certain things. All of those are secondary to the fact that her tits take up most of the frame now.
Or at least focus.
Not the picture that I just released, but in that same series,
mm-hmm.
there's one of her side profile.
Mm-hmm.
And her tits are coming out horizontally.
Right.
Like a shelf. Okay.
I mean, literally, is there a possibility she didn't?
No. There's absolutely, I will bet my career, okay? And I will stop shooting pictures today if this were natural.
Maybe she's got some kind of genetic, incredible genetics.
She's a late bloomer?
I mean, a rapid late bloomer.
When you bloom, you don't bloom rocks under your under your shirt.
Oh, that's the title of this podcast. You don't bloom rocks.
Because that's really, they were hard, hard as rocks.
Okay.
Honestly, and I think you're right.
So that affects the clothes.
I think you're right. This was probably post-op, first week, second week.
It could have been.
Because
I mean, we could go through her Instagram and know exactly when it happened.
And here's, yeah, actually, that's really good. That's a really good point. And remember all those excuses that came up before the shoot? She had a family thing or a doctor thing. Shit. Remember? Well,
okay.
Remember now?
Now, if it's an emergency or like...
Well, of course it wasn't quote-unquote emergency, but it could have been a medical thing. Remember?
Yeah.
There was a doctor's thing that came
up like
two or
third
3 weeks
time.
Ago.
This was the third Friday.
Right. So to tell the audience, basically, this is like the third time that we've had to reschedule and we finally
and
got
it. And you shot people in between and you've gotten other models from other agencies.
Right.
And this was
right.
just something that we've been trying to set up with an agency that we hadn't worked with before.
Right. And just couldn't get it together because each time something happened. And now it's just too suspiciously coincidental. It
yeah.
all lines up now.
Yes.
And I'll tell you, there's another backstory that girl that killed herself, and that's not funny, but she rescheduled with me a couple times. And I remember taking a call on a Saturday, and I guess we were supposed to shoot either later that day or day later or whatever. But she calls me, and she goes, I've been in a car accident.
Mm-hmm.
And so my face is
How
all
long
banged
ago was
up.
This?
The girl who killed herself was probably like four years ago, I want to say.
Maybe give like a little recap of that so that because whoever's listening to this, they might
Jesus.
Have not. They that might
is
not know.
Another wormhole.
That's a big,
dude.
But that's a big story. Maybe just the.
That girl is. Oh, dude, she's all sorts of wrong. All sorts of wrong. I mean, this is the plastic surgery podcast, is what it is. So she had messaged me. And I think she found me on Model Mayhem, and she wanted to shoot. I looked at her port. It looked great.
This is what, 2 or 3 years ago?
This is 4 years ago.
4 years ago, okay.
And she'd even shot with our buddy Ren. And I think I asked Ren about her, and then he said, you know, she was crazy, but she shot well. But that was like a couple years before.
And that's not rare, right? Like, you'll hear that from Ren or other photographers.
Sure.
Yeah. Still worth shooting, like... Maybe.
So basically, chronologically, let's say 6 years ago, she shot with Ren.
Mm-hmm.
4 years ago, she pops up out of the woodwork. She'd been gone for a little while
mm-hmm.
from the scene, quote, you know, so-called scene. Then she messages me and I say, and I look at her port and I go, cool, you know, let's shoot. And then I guess we had a date on the calendar and then she calls me. So this is a Saturday, I guess, either a couple days before the shoot or so. She calls me, and I remember taking this call. I was in Dim Sum down in Irvine. For whatever reason, I remember this call. And she goes, yeah, you know, can we postpone the shoot?
Mm-hmm.
My face is all banged up. I've been in a car accident. And I was like, okay, well, yeah, take care of yourself. You know, do what you got
to
do.
Yeah, what do you got to say? No, you need to come down.
Right.
If there's glass in your face, we'll just, you know, Photoshop it out.
Right. And this actually goes, this is part of the bit that I have, this whole bit, this comedy bit that I have with models and their fucking excuses, because I've heard them all.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to imagine, over the 4 years that I've been doing this, car accidents, GPS is taking them the wrong. I had one model tell me she wound up in fucking the valley, like in Canoga Park or Topanga Canyon or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, how the hell did you get there? And she's like, well, I put in your address and it took me over here. I'm like, no, you didn't.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way my, you know, at the time, I think my studio was Alhambra, you know, my first studio. She wound up out there. I don't know how that happened. I'm like, are you sure you didn't put in another person's studio address? And she's like, yeah, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay, that's bullshit. In retrospect, that's bullshit.
Right.
But I've heard it all. I've heard, you know, car accidents, car got stolen. You heard
yeah.
that one, right?
Here. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Car got stolen.
I thought that was nonsense. I mean, maybe it's possible, but geez, come on.
Yeah. But the
Well, even the one, it's weird hearing it on this side, because I mean, I was an agent and I was a model, so I've had to figure out, okay, am I going to the shoot? Am I going to be a mess that day? Or is this model lying to me? Are they going to be able to make to that shoot? And am I going to miss that connection? But here, there's one girl that said, she had a flat tire. She was already late.
Right.
She was at the gas station. Couldn't afford to... Didn't want to fix the tire because it's her friend's car. And then she was just done for the day.
Yeah.
I was like, what do you mean? So you're leaving the car? Like, her story didn't add up.
Yep.
You got a flat tire. You're at the gas station now. And you're just going to abandon this car that's your friend's
right.
car, supposedly. Even though you're obviously not coming, and right. by the first two excuses, you weren't coming. And it's crazy.
Most of the time, you can kind of tell that they're just making excuses. Like, I remember a couple months ago, I was supposed to shoot with a model that I had already shot before, and she, at 4 a.m., she fucking Facebooks me. Like, who the fuck is Facebooking at 4 a.m., and how do you expect me to get it? And she basically writes, look, I'm not feeling well. She texts me or she Facebooks me. Or I don't know, one or the other. She basically says, look, I'm not feeling well. I'm going to, you know, I don't think I can make it. You know, this never happens, blah, blah, blah. No, actually, it was 7. It was 7 a.m. she writes that. But then what's funny is I go back and I check her Instagram, mm-hmm. and she's fucking partying at 4 o'clock in the morning. So basically a couple hours before she wrote that message to me, she's completely hammered and drunk. But, I expect nothing less from models, because that's really just how they are. So I've heard it all. And the one that I always go back to the most is the grandmothers, and how every model's grandmother has at least died once, is what it boils down to.
Yeah, exactly.
They've died, and they use that excuse like over and over again. What's amazing to me is it occurred to me that when your granddaughter is a model, you're basically gonna die.
Yeah, your time is ticking. Your time's up.
Because as soon as she has a test that she doesn't want to go to, yeah. you're dying that day.
If I was a grandma, I'd be like, look, I get it. Just don't book any shoots for Fridays or Saturdays or even exactly. Sundays. Book a shoot for like Wednesday. I know you're not going out on Tuesday. So
I don't feel like dying on a Saturday.
Yeah, I really would appreciate that. And well, this girl, you said in the accident, right? She was...
Yeah.
Or said she was in an accident.
Yeah, so... She was in an accident. She's supposedly in an accident. She said she banged up her face and fine, whatever. So we rescheduled. And
how far are you rescheduling for someone that says their face is banged up?
Weeks.
It's got to be.
Yeah. I mean, look, I was in no rush to shoot her. And I believed her story. So I said, whatever, you know, do whatever you need. And we'll shoot when we can shoot. So the thing is, when she shows up, her face is fine from a car accident standpoint,
mm-hmm.
but it's very obvious that there's something going on with her face.
Okay.
Like, it's not a normal human face anymore.
What part of her face?
Her lips primarily, and her eyes. She gained a lot of weight from the pictures. Her eyebrows were tweezed to hell. Hair was practically platinum. But mostly, it was mostly like the lips. There's something weird about the lips and the nose and the arrangement of the eyes, nose, and mouth. There's okay. something wrong there, and I couldn't put my finger on it, right? So so we start shooting. It's just me and her. I remember it was...
How out of shape is she? Evening. Is she enough to where it's not fitting
she's
clothes?
She's 30 pounds.
Oh, so it's completely
20,
different.
25. 30 is an exaggeration. I mean, 20, 25 is extreme, though.
Did she bring her own stuff? Like her own wardrobe?
Yeah, she brought her own stuff. So,
but even that stuff must have not fit great if she was that much of a difference.
It was minimal styling. But what was weird is, and we were shooting in the evening, and I remember that, because it was nighttime in my studio out in, actually, I remember now, it's not Alhambra. I don't think it was Alhambra. I think it was in Monrovia. Both studios that I had before were in industrial car parks,
mm-hmm.
you know, basically, you know, like places, they're not bad neighborhoods. They're
right.
just industrial. And I lock the door at night. Usually if I'm in there, you know, I don't want people walking in, because every now and then you just get some weird random walk-ins. And I'm like, dude, this isn't
different type of neighborhood.
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, it says, you know, Golden State Towing Company outside my studio. So maybe, I don't know, if someone wanted their car fixed or whatever, they could walk in. But I've had other people just randomly walking through the door. So anyway, long story short, I'm shooting with her, the door's locked, and then she starts saying weird shit. Like when she's changing, she's like, oh, I see you watching me from the corner, you know. I'm like, what the hell?
Ooh, that's intense.
Yeah. And then she was like weirdly flirtatious, and she's like touching me weirdly, oddly, and that honestly does not happen.
Was that different from the way that she was like contacting you before, either on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it was?
Well, yeah. I mean,
like the tone
our
changed.
Correspondences via email or anything else had no such tone to
okay.
it. So when she showed up and that was how she was, it was a surprise to me. So, I mean, to the point where I was like, I might have to find a way to escape my own studio.
You're uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm afraid I might be the victim of something really bad here. Things got really weird though.
In that, how far into the shoot are you when you're like
halfway through the
shoot? Okay. So are you just trying to wrap it up quickly now?
Doors locked and we're shooting, you know, obviously some nudity. And now here's the kicker is things got really uncomfortable when I started seeing her legs were they were weird because it looked like she'd lost a dramatic amount of weight. There was a lot of extra, it looked like extra skin. And then there were these two incisions on the back of each leg that were symmetrically located. Right behind the, like underneath the butt. I don't exactly remember where it was, either mid or high on the upper leg.
What do you
think
it was?
It was almost definitely liposuction.
Wow. Okay.
I don't know what liposuction incisions look like, but I'm almost sure that was what it was.
So a lot has gone on since Rena shot her. Like,
oh, yeah.
And her portfolio couldn't look like this.
No. I mean, she was rather young in her port, and then some time had passed, and then bad things were happening to her, obviously, if later on she was going to kill herself.
Right.
But when I got her,
when you
was
see
a
that,
mess.
Though, what do you say? Like, or do you say anything when you see those incisions?
Dude, if I were to see them today, I still wouldn't say anything.
Okay.
Because that's some stuff that you just, like, when you see big fake titties, you don't just call them out.
But you're saying it got awkward at that point. How did it get
awkward?
Well,
no. I mean, it got awkward mentally where I'm like, okay, things are, like, basically escalating where she's getting touchy and, like, she's saying weird shit. And then, you know, I'm uncomfortable, you know, in my own studio. And she doesn't look like the way she looked in her portfolio. So I just wanted the shoot to end.
Right.
So at which point I'm just like, I mean, also because I knew at the time, even 4 years ago, I couldn't use any of these pictures for my book.
Why don't you just stop right then?
You can't do that.
But why? I mean, I'm not a photographer.
Oh, you can't do that. You can't.
What will happen?
Oh, God. Fuck. That's like basically calling off the show because your star, your lead actor is sick. Yeah, the lead actor is sick. So, but everybody else is here.
But it's almost doing something. You're trying to do something nice for the model, right? You don't want to get it
your
too awkward for them.
Your reputation's on the line, too. You can't be the guy who said, who basically says, oh, we're not shooting. You don't look like your book.
Well, there's a lot going on. I mean, who's going to say something bad? She's going to say something bad once she starts saying something.
Nobody knows who's more credible.
Like, okay.
You don't want the he said, she said scenario where right. Someone has to actually pick a side when it's 50-50 and there's no evidence.
So how do you wrap it up? How do you get out of this?
That's a great question, but that's like any scenario where it's bad. I don't want to shoot it. I'm already mentally checked out.
Mm-hmm.
I do it. I go through the motions, but I already have mentally written it
off. It's already over.
Because I know it's over. Because based upon the way she looks like a train wreck. Her face looks like two shades away from Michael Jackson.
Okay.
You know, I mean, she is wrecked.
Well, I mean, that's the problem, though. I think when you look at credibility, now if she's telling this story,
sure.
You'd be like,
She looks crazy to begin with.
Yeah.
And then if she says crazy, even, you know, other crazy shit, I'm sure it's going to not end well for her.
But for sure, I would be scared if I was a photographer about any type of bad information people are
bad
passing
press.
Back and forth. I mean, I know photographers that have a horrible reputation, and I don't know if it's true or not, but everyone says the same thing about a few of them. It's just that rumor starts, and it just keeps going.
I mean, if I had to guess my reputation from what I've heard people tell me in person, which is, of course, convoluted and, of course, going to be different than what they say behind my back. But from what people have told me that they've heard was that I've been cordial and I'm easy to work with. And that's basically it, you know?
I mean, I don't think it's crazy on your shoots. Like, you're pretty professional compared to any other photographer I've seen. I don't see where there's a lot of scenarios where it would even be something you could say was unprofessional in any way.
That's how I run my shows, but the show always goes on. I mean, the story that I told for the last workshop that I've told many of times over was when those two next models came.
Mm-hmm.
And then between the first and the second set, when I was shooting one and I was about to shoot the other,
right.
She texts the other model and goes, oh, this is bad. What'd she say? This is bad, the photographer sucks, right?
Oh,
so she was trying to text
Christ.
The other model, but somehow accidentally texted me. But even then, and I get this text, of course, and I get really upset. But then after like 5 seconds, I'm like, dude, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you've got two models. That was the first time I'd ever shot for Next. You've got your makeup artist and stylist on, you know, in, you know, on set.
You Let's put together a full production for a company you haven't worked with before. It's a lot of pressure on you from yourself, but it is a lot of pressure.
But the show goes on.
Yeah.
Always, always, always goes on no matter what. And so.
Okay. So with the girl with the plastic surgery, that's not going well. How does it wrap up? How do you get out of that?
Try to do 2-3 looks, try to finish it quickly. Try not to do anything crazy. You know, it's basically how you would handle a volatile situation where you have someone who's mentally unstable, you know, cornering you in some tight, you know, in a very closed, like inescapable environment. So like, let's say you walk into a 7-Eleven and you know, like shit's about to go down. Either this guy's going to rob the store or he's fucking crazy.
Right.
And you can just run, right? You can, if you wanted to, could run.
Well, this is the problem. You can't just run.
Fuck this. I'm out of here and try to make a quick, you know, quick run for the door.
But in this scenario, the person has your address, it has your cell phone number, and everything else. This is not a situation where you just, okay, goodbye, we're not going to work together anymore. Right.
It basically is a hostage situation. You have to treat it that way. And you're not going to make it to the door because he's standing in between the door and you.
Right.
So you have to play cool. You have to make it seem like you've either been there before or that this is ordinary.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that nothing's wrong. So whether or not you're mentally, you know, you've decided one way or another that this is, you know, the pictures are any good, that doesn't matter. But what really matters is how do you resolve this?
Right.
Right. So it becomes like a negotiation, conflict resolution situation where you're trying to let the other person down very easy. Very, very easy, because you know that they're not all there. You know that person in the 7-Eleven is fucking crazy. You know he's missing a few models, just like this model was missing a few models, marbles. Obviously, if she took her own life later on, she was missing a few marbles.
Do you know how much later it was after that?
It was years.
Okay.
At least a couple years.
Did you have any interaction with her, or did she try to text you or anything after that?
I think she liked the pictures, and I think I vaguely remember. And it was the situation that I wanted from that situation.
Which is
basically, I edited 6 pictures, which is my minimum.
Yeah.
I send it to her. She posts them on her social media. She's happy with them. Done.
Good.
And maybe she says, oh, we should shoot again. Great. Now I've exited gracefully from this situation, and there's no harm to my reputation or, you know, personally, you know, in flesh and body.
Do you, after experiencing that, do you kind of relate plastic surgery to a little bit crazy or something's going on?
Oh, I know it's crazy.
I mean, I
all
agree.
The people who I've seen get plastic surgery that's not a remedial injury type of trying to fix something that was obviously broken is all crazy.
It's all psychological.
But the flip side of that argument is, how is that any different from going to the gym and getting massive, like,
you're pecs? Making changes, yeah. It
you're
just depends
changes.
On how you want to make
how
them.
You do it.
Yeah.
So, or even taking drugs. I mean, it's all mental masturbation to a certain extent. Mm-hmm. And so I try to not make those judgments, except for the fact that the plastic surgery stuff is so extreme.
Well, it's a flag. It's like you can see.
It's so extreme.
It's a mental.
It is crazy extreme.
Something mentally you can physically see in person. How about with the girl, the blonde girl, now at this point, what do you do? Do you feel like, okay, do I need to wrap this up even right out of the get-go? Like, is this going to go, do you think that test is going to go well? How does that go?
Well, boob jobs are maybe the least offensive, no matter how big they are, because I think it's the most understandable and almost like it's the marijuana of plastic surgeries for girls.
Okay, I can see that.
You know what I'm saying? Because pretty much
gateway plastic surgery.
And
or maybe a nose job.
It probably is, yeah.
Yeah.
It probably is a gateway thing. I think boob jobs are much more common than nose jobs.
I don't know.
As indicated by this model who was willing to, look, this girl was willing to operate on her boobs way, way before she was willing to operate on her nose. And she could have used at least a minor rhinoplasty there.
Ooh.
So it's one of those things where you're, you know, people have priorities, obviously, and mm-hmm. what they want to fix or how they want to feel better about themselves. And it just seems that for girls, it's almost always boobs first.
Okay.
Because I think it for girls, it's the attractiveness. It's the desirability, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think when you operate on the boobs or you make them bigger, it's like almost, I think it, at least to mass appeal or to the public, it's you're automatically being upgraded to from a 7 to an 8, 8 to the 9, whatever.
Yeah.
For the most part. Not everybody's going to agree because a lot of people hate them, you know, like me, but then most guys don't give a shit, right?
There's a reason why Hooters exists. There's a reason why strip clubs have certain ladies in there and not other ladies.
So they don't care.
I should even say ladies, but.
So, you know, for me, it's the most understandable plastic surgery out there for girls, and it doesn't offend me unless, of course, I have to shoot them.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only offensive part about it, is that I have to shoot that and it looks really strange and it doesn't work well for my photography, doesn't work well for fashion, and it isn't what we agreed upon, and that's the most offensive part. Was really, this is a knock on the agent who either doesn't know that she's gotten huge implants, or he did know and he basically wanted to pull a fast one on us.
Which is really interesting. Like, okay.
It's shady no matter what.
Yeah. And no conversation about it. Like, we're going to know, and he's going to obviously know that this is different. It's a different product. You have a different...
I'm going to call him out on something else, too. The other shady thing was during the shoot, he starts texting, you know, our blonde model mm-hmm. and goes, hey, make sure you get this lingerie look. Hey, make sure that you get the commercial look like this. It was like directing the shoot, but through her rather than talk to me. And, I mean, the whole... What was the...
How do you know that? How does that come up?
She tells me. She goes, oh, my agent wants me to get this look, you know, and make mm-hmm. sure that I get this for my book. And I smile.
Right.
I smile sarcastically because in my head I'm like, I don't give a fuck what he says.
Right.
Because basically I really don't. At that point, I'd kind of already written him off mentally because I thought, I hadn't put two and two together, but I really did think that he wasn't on top of shit. You know?
Well, you also sent a mood board. You sent what you were going to do. You had an explanation.
What's the
of
point
everything.
Of the fucking mood board if you're just going to backseat quarterback this whole thing from your office on the day of the shoot?
Mm-hmm.
What's the point of me giving you anything?
Right.
What's the point of my call sheet?
Well, exactly. Why does he want it? Why do you want a mood board if you're not? You don't. If you ultimately are just going to decide this is the type of shoot you want
to do. If you're trying to do things and remotely control this thing from your office, then, you know, first of all, we're not on the same page. And secondly, it's kind of like backhand to do that.
Right.
Thirdly, I don't give a shit what you think.
Technically, did you have to shoot her differently than you thought you would? Like, do you have to make decisions like that? Like,
based upon her rack?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because now
a little
it's a different type of girl.
A little bit. Yeah, I suppose
is
so.
Is it angles? Is it like...
See, that, you know, part of it is that I've got a great retoucher, you know, and I always say this, again, it's weird when I say this third person, like I'm talking about myself in a third person perspective, but when your retoucher is good, you can kind of get away with a lot of stuff. So are her fake... Look, I can make droopy tits, you know, perky.
Okay.
Similarly, I believe I can tone down how pointy and how... rocket like her
interesting
her boobs
so how toned down, like what percentage would you say from
let me have
first shot and a camera after your great retoucher did all the work?
Well, there was that one shot I remember just talking about earlier where it was side profile
It
was just massively like horizontal like a shelf,
right
that picture, which I haven't put online yet but probably will at some point. That one, I fucking reduced that thing angularly down so that it wasn't horizontal,
mm-hmm.
you know, it wasn't parallel to the fucking floor. I pulled them down so there was some gravity acting upon those things.
Right, right.
And so it looked realistic. And then secondly, I fucking brought them down at least a good cup and a half.
Okay.
I mean, she said she was a D, but I fuck that, dude. That's not a D cup. That's massive.
And she has a skinny frame. Like, it's not it's not like that. I mean, it would be rare if that's a girl that can actually have real boobs that big on a frame that skinny.
Nah, it's. I mean, look, it has happened. I've shot at least two girls that have three girls. It's an anomaly.
But they look completely different.
No, they don't. They look completely different. They look real, and real is real. So, okay, the first look, I put her in a black, like a large neckline, black, gray or black kind of meshy top. And I think the black top kind of covers and kind of downplays the size and enormity of her boobs. I mean, Jesus, she's got definition on her obliques. Okay.
Right, right.
That's how thin she is. It's unlikely she's rocking.
And her legs are in crazy shape. Like,
her legs
she,
are muscular.
She
and,
is in
and lean.
Great shape, whether it's genetics and it's also working out, but it's got to be some, like, right, hardcore working out because she's super toned.
Right. Okay.
Not an overly toned, but.
So halfway through the first set. Oh, shit. Here we go, dude. Halfway through the first set, I have her take off her top. And this is bad news, but they went through the nipple. I can see it. So she takes off her top, and that looks like a nipple incision. Yeah, I don't see it. I don't see the incision under or on the inside. It looks like it was cut right underneath the areola. So, and the nipple looks really, really swollen, like massively swollen. So anyway, the point is I have her take off her top. We're doing implieds, so she's actually covering. So what I'm looking at is specifically the one or two shots that she's not covering too well, and I can see a little bit more. And it just, even when her shirt is on, I remember seeing that her nipple was like really, really swollen. I'm like, that looks really strange.
Do you think if another photographer saw her book and these pictures were in it, that they would be shocked when they see her in real life? Like, how much of a difference did you make from the girl that exists in real life to now these pictures that are potentially going to be in her book?
You mean reducing her cup size,
yeah,
or,
yeah,
her boobs?
Well, because, okay, so now you've just added to her book that the next photographer that's going to shoot her is going to see. This
Correct.
Is the most recent
Correct.
Representation of her.
50%.
Jesus. Well, that's what's tough, too, because now there's a book walking around right now that doesn't...
Okay, I take that back. Maybe 30%. So, I mean, looking through the rest of these pictures, okay, she's implied on the second half of the first set. She's wearing lingerie on the second set, which she looks fine because you can always always assume that the bra's pushing her boobs up, right? So that's believable, at least. And in the last set, she's wearing another mesh knit top that was, you know, a different color at least, and then we shot it differently. And so basically I think what was going on was try to cover her,
yeah,
you know, so that her boobs are not so obnoxious.
Okay. How often do you think you have to deal with this personally? How often do you think you have a model come in that has had one type of plastic surgery at least?
More often than I'd like to believe. I'm trying to think. I mean, we shot another girl with fake boobs not too long ago, right?
Yeah, a girl that was at a workshop, and she was like second. No.
A workshop girl had
a
fake
late
boobs?
Yeah. Well, it might not be the same one we're talking about, but one that was shooting on that couch. That was, I think, the first night, the first extra shoot.
Oh, wait.
I mean, maybe they're not, but it didn't look right on her frame.
We had Victoria. We had...
Yeah, not Victoria.
The Hispanic girl, and then we had one other
that,
girl.
The third girl, not the Hispanic girl.
Her, but I think her boobs were fake. I never shot her.
Like, reddish hair.
Right.
It just, I mean, maybe they're real, but it didn't look
like
it to me.
No, you're right. They were fake. But I didn't shoot her, so it didn't matter so much to me. But I do recall there was one other girl who came in through here that I'd shot that the boobs looked funny. But
I'm
anyway,
sure.
To answer your question, it probably happens like, what, 1 out of 10 times where something just, it just looks weird.
Well, I'll ask the easier one first. Have you seen a great job, like whatever the job was for plastic surgery? that you're like, you know what, that actually doesn't look too bad, or actually that helps you? Have you seen that?
No, they always look, they almost always look strange to me. There's something about them that I think the real problem is the skin. You can't make more skin. You could stretch skin, but you can't make more, and mm-hmm. not in a short amount of time. So the problem is that it doesn't fall, you know, doesn't cater to gravity, and gravity is having a hard time pulling them down, because when we were saying they're skin tight, they're skin tight. I mean, mm-hmm. they're, you know, it can't, there's nowhere to go, because there's no flexibility, and there's no slack in the skin.
Right.
So that's really what it comes down to. And unfortunately, as far as boob jobs go, I don't think there's ever been there have been a few where I'm like, oh, that could be real. Part of the reason they could be real is because when you're really skinny,
your skin's really tight.
Yeah, your skin is tight.
If you're in that kind of shape, yeah.
But you got to be ridiculously skinny. And right. even then, right? Even then, those boobs still, they still have some hang, right?
Right.
They're not basically half domes.
Right. Well, you look at the girl that's super famous for just being topless in a music video. Then she lands her own movie. But between then, she was in Gone Girl.
Yeah,
I think.
Emily Ratajkowski.
Yeah. I assume those are real. They look real.
Yeah,
but they're real. I think that's what most girls are chasing. That girl. They want to be that girl. Even sure. though you're not going to get fake ones are usually not going to look like that.
Huge boobs.
And I think that's what those girls are trying to do. Someone that skinny.
Oh God, I mean, so it is. I've seen a handful of girls like that. A handful. I mean, literally maybe on one hand I can count how many girls that I've seen like that. Who are naturally skinny and just have massive, massive boobs. It is strange,
and
though.
And then tall, that usually doesn't go together either. You're tall, you're that skinny, and then that big of boobs. That's a big anomaly.
Yeah.
What's the worst? Okay, other side of the spectrum, have you seen any girls that have wrecked themselves? That it's just this, they've either wrecked their career, or you've seen down the road that they've wrecked their career.
Because of plastic surgery? I don't know. I haven't followed anybody through their career that long, or have not followed anybody who's done that much work.
Oh, I've seen one person that you shot, and you shot him a long time ago.
Oh, you're talking about Kate.
And it's tough. Like, she's famous, I guess, now, and shoots all the time, but she looks like a different person.
Yeah.
And it's not my type, because you can tell she's done a lot of plastic surgery.
I think part of it is a change in the type of photography and the genre, you mm-hmm. know, moving towards a glamour look. And then also it's chasing the youth.
Right.
So if your body is starting to look older, or some parts of you are starting to look older.
She's always competing with 18, 17-year-old girls for the rest of her life. That's the industry she wants to be in.
The irony is she's not old. I think she's maybe 23 now.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is I started shooting her when she was 18, and she might only be 22. It's possible. She's either 22 or 23. I started shooting her when she was 18. I think I was the first person she shot any nudity with. And I remember this because she had a boyfriend who, before she shot with me, he was like, oh, you're not allowed to shoot nudity. So she told me, oh, my boyfriend won't let me. But that's as soon as they broke up. Then she messaged me, and then we...
Now it's game on.
Yeah, now we could shoot. Now, I shot her many times throughout the years,
mm-hmm.
but the thing that she was most insecure about was her lips. She always had kind of thinner lips. They weren't bad, and I didn't think they weren't off or anything. They just were thin, on the thin side. And she said, and this is completely based upon what she told me, that when she signed with Vision, they gave her money to go get collagen injections in her lips.
God, I wish I was there for one of those conversations. I never heard that
now,
stuff.
I don't know if this is true or false. I was never able to validate it. On the other hand, she has no reason to lie to me. If she wanted to do a lip... I mean, because I saw her after the lip job and she...
It's a weird lie if it's a lie, too.
Because she told me outright. She goes, I got my lips done.
Right.
So, like, it wasn't like she was hiding anything.
Right.
And then she straight up told me, yeah, when I signed with Vision, they asked me to do my lips.
That's wild.
And then she did them, and she said she was, I think specifically, I remember her telling me that they gave her money to do the lips. Now, whether that was an advance on future earnings,
right?
Probably that's how it works. But that's what she says, was they gave me money and to do my lip, specifically to do my lips. So anyway, that was, I think, the first thing that she did. She did her lips many times over throughout the years. And then next thing you know, she fucking gets bigger boobs. And I don't know if you've seen a picture of Kate Compton, but she has massive boobs for her size.
I mean, to be honest, the girl she is now, I know that she's famous now and she shoots all the time and she has a lot of followers. But yeah. I feel like if you took that away and just had her stand next to the girl she was before plastic
it's
surgery,
really sad.
I'm not sure you would shoot this new girl.
Oh,
like,
no,
this
I
isn't
wouldn't.
Someone that you'd
I wouldn't.
Pick out of a package. Like, if you didn't know her name, you'd had no relationship with her before
yep.
this. Like, I don't think you would have picked her. It's
you
not
know,
your style.
The sad thing about her is that I know I have pictures of her when she was 18 and she was stunning. This
yeah.
girl was fresh, young. I've shot her without makeup on. I've shot her. I mean, there's nothing wrong with her.
Mm-hmm.
There's absolutely nothing wrong with her. The only downside, I think, for her was that being really thin. Okay, she's like 5'8", 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
Okay, she says she's 5'10". I know she's not 5'10". She just fucking lies. Something I always make fun of her. I'm like, dude, you're not 5'10".
Everybody lies about that.
I'm like, I'm barely 5'8". I'm not even
5'9". Anybody that's a model
nine.
That says they're 6 feet tall means that they're 5'11".
Yeah.
It just is. And then they eventually believe it. They
yeah.
eventually say it enough to where they believe it. I would
oh,
have guys
sure.
coming in that were like 5'9". I'd be standing eye to top of their forehead, and they would tell me they're 6 feet tall. I'm like, I'm 6 feet tall. You, I can see the top of your head. There's
yeah.
no way you're 6 feet tall.
Yeah. So when I'm when I was talking to Kate and yeah. Anyway, so she's 5'8", 5'9". She's really slender, but she has a huge, huge rack for her size,
mm-hmm.
right? So I think the only downside is I don't think she had the physique to hold up that much mass. And this is a physics problem. This is what happens when you...
Do you think those were real in the beginning?
Oh, they're absolutely real.
Okay.
100% sure. There's no doubt in my mind because the problem is they were actually kind of droopy.
Okay.
Okay.
So
not
it looked
like,
real.
Not like old lady droopy, like...
Just natural.
Not like touching her knees droopy,
yeah.
but...
18-year-old real.
They were droopy in the sense of they weren't like super perky.
Right. Okay.
And she was only 18. And I can only assume that, well, shit, she is skinny. Her frame is small.
Mm-hmm.
What happens with bigger girls who have huge boobs is that they have a big rib cage and
okay.
a huge chest plate.
Yeah.
Basically, enough of a skeletal reinforcement that can support that much mass.
Right.
What happens with really skinny girls that have very, very little rib cage and chest plate, you know, chest plate, is that their chest basically, if you took a look at their skeletal structure, it's basically up and down.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no shelf or no platform by which to hold up that mass.
Okay.
Okay. As a bigger girl, a big, you know, what we call big boned, you know.
Right, right.
A big boned girl would be able to have a bigger chest plate to hold up that mass, and therefore the boobs won't droop as much. Now, that's
yeah.
only downfall for Kate was that her boobs were a little droopy because they were way too big for her frame.
Right.
But that was the only problem.
And you think maybe she was self-conscious about that?
I think so. I do think that that's the only logical reason a girl with the boobs like that would want to have or get implants. It makes no sense because her boobs are already big. So the only thing that she could do to improve upon them would be to basically make them perkier.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is somewhere down the line between getting lip injections and then getting her boob job, I remember seeing on her Instagram that she was working out her ass. And all these things kind of fall in line of what a glamour model does.
Yeah.
That's what glamour models are valued for, right? Big tits, big ass, big lips.
Well, maybe she's just looking at it like this. It's, you know, she's not a fashion model. She didn't start out one. She didn't have the body for it. So
yeah,
she's like, all right, I'll go this direction.
That's very
now.
True. And I wonder if that's because I wonder if it's the reason why she went down the glamour route, if it's because she found such limited success in fashion, if that's why. And I could see if it were why, then yes, I could totally understand, going and being.
What is she going to do? Go the other direction?
It is much harder for a girl who's built like that.
I knew one, but she
could have been a lingerie model.
Yes,
and a very successful lingerie Victoria's Secret. Maybe I don't know if she has the face for it.
I don't know. Did she go out for that? If she went out for that stuff, she didn't get it. That's her answer, or that's what she thinks her answer is.
I will say, out of all the girls that I've shot, she is definitely one of the ones that could have done a lot more or mm-hmm. been a lot more famous in terms of real work rather right. than in terms of social media. Because now she has a great social media following. She has a huge, she gets a lot of attention.
Right.
Right. But not because of work per se.
Well, what work is she going out? When I was an agent, I couldn't send a girl out like that knowing her real shape, because I'm going to send her to casting she's not going to get.
Here's what I think legitimately happened. I think for a girl like that, there's low-hanging fruit, mm-hmm. and then there's high-hanging fruit.
Right.
And unlike other people where, you know, there's not that much low-hanging fruit, or maybe there is a little bit of it, but look, if you really want to achieve your dreams, you just got to go for it. I think for her, she gets a proposal for something every day.
Right.
Small or big. And I think it was just easier for her to constantly take the low-hanging fruit, which is basically, hey, we'll put you in a music video, or hey, we're gonna do this, and hey, we're gonna do that. And
it's gotta be flattering.
It is flattering.
Her ego has to feel great.
And I think for her, she catered to the market that was most flattering to her, mm-hmm. like the one that paid most attention to her. And I think that transformed her into who she became or is today, because that's who she felt was appreciating her look.
Right.
That's what I think happened. And I know for a fact that men are creepy and crazy, and they will walk up to her and basically be like, look, you can have anything you want, but you just gotta, you know, you gotta sleep with me.
Right.
I know that. I know that happens because she tells me.
I bet.
And I know what it's like to just be a, like, we went to a Chipotle once, mm-hmm. and it was just weird because it was heat. It was like this weird heat that she attracts this weird attention. She's wearing these crazy heels. She's freaking tall. She's freaking blonde. And she has an aura and definitely a lot of confidence. And she just attracts heat. We're talking about Chipotle in Alhambra, California. It's not like Hollywood or downtown LA or Beverly Hills. It's just random city in LA suburbs, and just whoever is sitting there just cannot help but look. The music stops, like the record scratches, and then like everybody is basically.
I think that's very attractive. Like that idea has to be very appealing. Like that's, I think that's what
she
Emily
plays
does
to it too.
That's what Emily has to feel the same thing.
I don't
think
Emily does that.
Oh, I bet guys go crazy for her.
Maybe now.
Yeah.
That's but also, I don't think she's nearly as attractive as Kate.
Maybe if they're in the same
face
room.
Face-wise.
Right. I just mean in terms of if that girl that you just shot walks into a random place, she's the prettiest girl that's walked in there in a very long time.
Sure.
And it's not that she's a fashion model, but it's that she's, you know, that super sexy girl that you can tell on social media now is what guys like.
Right.
That you can see someone that's following, you can follow someone that's following, that's taking no pictures of themselves. It's just boobs and tits, and that's it. And just that shape is now viewed as super ultra sexy and has nothing to do with fashion.
Yeah, but that silhouette with that boob job for Emily is not, well, fuck, again, I'm looking at it from my perspective, but it looks cartoony. If I were to shoot her silhouette, or just like to shoot her against a wall and just take that shadow, it would look like Jessica Rabbit.
Right, and I think if you took a picture of that silhouette, there'd be tons of dudes that would
be totally
excited about
that silhouette.
Exactly, that would totally go silhouette.
Bonkers over that.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, that's what it is, man. I mean, it's crazy.
Have you ever thought someone needed plastic surgery?
Yes, all the time.
Oof. Have you ever said that?
Okay. That's extreme because coming from the point of a retoucher, I can see, if I could just fix that, you know?
Yeah.
So I look at it in terms of, basically, I look at it just like a plastic surgeon does. I'm like, I can fix that. I can make this better. I can push this in here. I can pull this here. I could do this and that. I can make you quote unquote perfect, you know.
Right.
Now that's from an aesthetic standpoint, yeah, from a visual, from a print standpoint, I can make you perfect. But does that make you perfect in real life? No, absolutely doesn't, you know. You can't. The stuff that we do here, it's all visual. It's all just it's an image.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing more than that. It says nothing about the person. I've shot girls that look stunning, but they're fucking empty inside.
Yeah.
You know, or I've shot girls that are not good looking at all, but they're most wonderful people I've ever met.
Well, you just shot someone that I thought their pictures were going to be amazing. And I think when you were retouching it, you're like, well, it's not as good as we saw in person. I don't want to say who it is, but it's just...
We'll say who it is. It doesn't matter.
She is super pretty in real life. And her personality, after spending like 2 seconds with her,
yeah,
makes her even more attractive.
Yeah. Andrea, we're talking about Andrea Stickle, the former Chargers cheerleader who... here's a little bit of a secret is that people don't know is that sometimes I get lazy and I make my makeup artist pull models.
Mm-hmm.
So basically I have her either give me the roster of people she's already worked with.
And she knows your style and what you like and what you're looking for.
She clears every model with me.
Right.
And then I say yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
This model, Andrea, happened to be someone that she'd shot with before for e-com. And in lieu of a better model, that we didn't have any other models that day or that week to shoot. So I said, yeah, sure, let's shoot her. You know, she seemed really nice. And Leah had already worked with her.
Mm-hmm.
So it was easy to, okay, let's try it, see what happens. And she shot great. There's nothing wrong with her. But she was a former dancer on the for the Chargers.
Right, right.
San Diego Chargers. So she's not as tall. She's a $1 million smile.
Well, the dancing has to do with her body too, though.
More muscular, you know, definitely more, you know, just, you know, more muscular generally. And not as tall, but $1 million smile. Sweetest girl in the world.
Right.
Super attractive. I mean, brunette, you know, all the things that I do like personally.
Right.
Athletic. Super easygoing.
Yeah.
You know, and well-spoken.
Yeah.
You know, she could speak. Like, she knew what she was saying. Super cute. Now, in the images, how does that translate? Well, trying to remove my own personal preferences from looking at these images, I'm looking at the images from a fashion perspective, and I'm like, oh, you know, we got to do something about these legs. Like, they're definitely on the short side.
It's tough. I mean, what do you do? Like, you look at the legs in real life, they're great, but it's
well, in real life, they're great for me as a purveyor of legs, of muscular toned athletic bodies, you know, that's what you like. But
I think she does photograph different. Like, it looks different in pictures than in real life. I mean, it's just tough because she's, I think, competing against everyone else that is usually the rail skinny and they have way less muscle tone.
No, she definitely shot very glam, right? And she's definitely shorter. And then with that smile, it's hard not to... When she smiles, it's hard not to shoot the smile. But when you smile like that, it's hard not to also think of her as a glamour model.
Yeah, or more commercial. And hell,
super commercial.
I'm super commercial. I only worked for companies where they thought I was all American.
Right.
And I don't say it as a slam, but hell, there's a lot of models would be like, fuck you, I'm not commercial. This is I do fashion.
Right. You want to be edgy. You want to be high fashion.
You always want to be what you're
not. Editorial. But this girl was straight down the line commercial or very glam. And... Mm. I didn't think that initially. I definitely thought she had a commercial look, but I didn't think she would shoot that glam. But her body, her height, and her look, her face, you know, I think that was the thing that when I was looking through the pictures, just like you said, I was somewhat disappointed in the fact that I wasn't gonna be able to achieve any real high fashion element out of these.
Which is so strange, like knowing that you've been shooting for so long and you've shoot so many girls, that there's still that big difference between when you sit down, see the pictures, and now you're going to edit them, to when you're actually shooting.
There's a part of me that doesn't get to think about the pictures that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's such
while you're taking them?
Yeah, it's such a real-time thing that happens, which is, you know, going back to the last podcast, So, you know, if I get to, like, if I smoke and then I shoot, that first shoot where I did that, I was able to kind of pull back from being in the shooting element to really flip through the pictures on the back of the camera and to kind of put on the retoucher goggles
in real time
and think about how am I going to feel about them when I see them on the computer. I don't do that as much. I don't do much of that when I don't smoke, because I'm again, I think smoking pulls you out of the element, but makes you much more detached, but then not so fucking neurotic. When I'm completely sober and I'm shooting, I'm much more neurotic, but then I also get all, like, I get more details.
Yeah.
But I don't get the big picture as much.
Right. You can step back almost as if you've downloaded pictures and editing in between shots.
Yeah. Smoking allows me to kind of step back out of everything and then kind of direct from a God level, like, okay, I can see this happening here, and then later on it's going to look like this.
Yeah, steps ahead. Yeah. You can see a few steps ahead. Yeah,
because I'm not attached.
Right.
I'm totally detached from that experience, which is weird, because you would think that, oh, you should be attached to it. You should be totally in it. But there are things that you'll miss when you're totally in it, because you can't see it all at once. If, you know, it isn't until when I'm totally sober, obviously, it isn't until I look on the computer and then I flip.
I don't think you smoked for that shoot.
This would be Andrea.
Yeah.
No, I don't think so. But it wasn't a bad shoot. I was pretty calm. It was pretty easy. You know, I'm trying to take away a lot of the learning lessons from that first shoot where I did smoke, and trying to learn how to kind of emotionally detach enough so where I don't get surprised.
Right.
But inevitably, you know, I think there are things that you aren't going to be able to see. Literally, I don't care how many times you flip through on the back of the camera. The level of detail that you can see on a larger screen is, of course, it's unmatchable. It's, you know, unsurpassable. So, you know, there are always going to be little surprises, but hopefully not big surprises.
Do you ever have a conversation after you've sent the pictures back to the girl and you've tweaked them enough to where, you know, maybe it's a different nose, maybe it's a different shape of their body? Like, do they comment on it? Do they ever have anything
sometimes
to say about, like, specific things you've done?
Like, Barrett asked me by text a couple days ago. She's like, hey, did you change my nose? And I was like, I don't know. I maybe I did, maybe I didn't. And she's like, oh, it just looks so, it looks much more flat or something. I forgot what she said. And, you know, honestly, without looking at the picture, I couldn't tell you whether I did or didn't. I probably did.
What was the mood of the conversation? Like, how do you think she was approaching it, and why?
I think she was curious. I think she wanted to know if that was really how her nose looks. Because given what I know about her, about Barrett, is that she's a really nice girl and she's very, very laid back. So I don't think she was accusatory. I don't think she was aggressive or offensive, or she wasn't on the offense or on the attack. I think she really legitimately wanted to know if I had photoshopped her, and I most likely did, because I generally do.
Sure.
You know, I generally fix things more so now than ever before.
Do you think that? Well, I feel like that's more for you than it is for the model to make sure that the picture itself turns out great. But do you think if it was up to her that she would have kept it the same or done it like this?
You know, that's a good question, because people don't see themselves differently than they appear, you know.
What do you mean?
They tend not to.
I'd say, like, most models have body dysmorphia. Like, they don't see what they are in real life.
True, but when you start messing around with their facial features, that's when things get suspicious even to them.
You know? They'll probably let a few, like, if you're shaving the sides of the girl, like, in Photoshop, then they'll be like, they probably won't
body
think
wise
about it
as they much. Love that they right. always they sometimes ask for it specifically, that they want, you know, they want things to be tucked in or, like, to be pulled in or whatever.
What a weird conversation. Does that happen often?
Oh, more often than you'd think, you know. Be like, I only want to shoot with photographers that are good at Photoshop.
What's the worst case scenario of that? Like, if you had someone like...
But it makes sense.
Well, it depends. If a girl is... If it's a different girl at the end of the day and she puts that picture in her book, she's never going to work. Now, she might like this pretty picture of this mythical girl, but if it's so different and so drastic, It's not going to help her when she gets there. She'll get the casting because they want to see that girl. But sure. That girl's made up. She's on your computer.
Right. I don't know, man. I think it's... You know, as a rule of thumb, I try not to do more than 10, 15% of anything.
Has anyone asked you to go more than that and you're uncomfortable doing it?
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
I feel like I walk a fine line between what is realistic
and
what is too far.
Okay.
You know, and I think that for castings, you know, I think that when you look through all those pictures and before you see this girl, you go, hey, based upon these pictures, we'd love to see her. And as long as my pictures are not the only pictures in her book, they're going to get a well-rounded perspective of who this girl is.
Right.
And even if they are the only pictures in her book, you still want to see her. And when you see her, you still have to decide, is she so far off the mark that I can't use her, or is she close enough?
I really think that books should make a turn. We talk about technology a lot. I think it should go the other way, where it's just a Polaroid. This is what that girl looks like. You want to bring her in, great. And if you don't have the imagination to bring someone in to know what they're going to look like with makeup or clothes, then you're in the wrong business.
Right.
Because that would be the best way to do it. Because right now, how many books are out there that you've created that like that's girls that don't exist?
Yeah, the irony is the pictures don't give you a better sense of who that person is, but it tells you whether or not they're flexible and they've worked a lot, you know, that they have a range.
Right.
It's range and it's experience. That's what it really boils down to. Because I can look at a Polaroid and be like, okay, I can see what she can be.
Or right.
I, you know, and maybe that's because I have that experience from a photographer's perspective. But even then, like, if I'll see her Polaroid, like, I usually do this. I'll look through a book first and then I'll click on the Polaroid. And still then, even then, I'm oftentimes surprised.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, wow.
Well, it's probably one out of 50 Polaroids that day. That was the one that was good. Or the best one.
I don't think they...
You go through a lot of digitals. I mean, we used to go through tons of digitals to get the ones out of the... Like, usually we would do four. So it'd be like a profile, a close-up three-quarter.
But you're not shooting each one of those three-quarters like that many times.
Oh, yeah. We're not photographers. Yeah, I mean, Jamie and I would shoot it all the time.
You get that angle and you're done.
Well, that's what you would do because you're good at it. We would have to go through, all right, this one's a little better than this one. Yeah. It wasn't a real digital.
I mean, makes sense.
At a casting, it's like, okay, stand here. Here's the three shots you get.
Yeah, I literally will shoot four shots or five shots and that's it.
Yeah.
That makes sense, though. I mean, if you're the agency, that's what you want them to have, the best digitals, the best Polaroids. But yeah, even me, I'm sometimes surprised when I look at the Polaroids, you know, that they either... That wasn't what I expected, or she looks different. Usually the eyes, because, you know, a lot of times the eye makeup really, you know, it's hard to make out what they look at.
Like, Changes the face.
Without any makeup at all. Body, not so much. Body, you can't hide, you know, so I mean, it's kind of, it's
tough,
all there. You know, it's all there, you know, shot to shot, you know, picture to picture. But really, look, the game is get them to the casting, because once they get to the casting, they have a huge, huge advantage over everybody else.
Sure.
Even if they don't look like the person that you made them out to be, once they're there, it's much harder for them to say no.
There might be 500 girls going to that casting, but there were 10,000 girls that were submitted to that casting.
Exactly.
So at least you're in there. But I also think it's real tough.
And 500
is a lot. It is. But if it's like a big company,
it's like 100
they're doing different days where I've had going into the casting, holding up a casting number that is in the triple digits. Where I'm like, Jesus, I'm not even late. I'm in the middle of this casting.
Right.
And this is how far it's gone. Like companies like Target, where they're going to cast over the course of a week for each individual spot. It can get to the point where if you're not getting called in for that, good luck next time. Because if you can't even get to the point where the huge group is going in, you got to change something.
For sure. Anyway, we got to wrap up this the podcast because I got to go to shoot with Lucy. So now this was really informative, and I hope that whoever is listening to this is entertained by the type of information, and certainly being able to, for me, being able to say who we're talking about and actually talk about what we really want to talk about is liberating. So I know there's only like two guys can, you know.
I think these are the conversations that photographers have.
These are the real, real conversations. Yeah. The real, legit, like, you know, no bullshit, no punches pulled. That's what we really think about, and that's what I think
about. I'd
love
to hear other people's stories. Like, because there's got to be some insane stories out there. If you broach that, like, actually say out loud to that girl, and you cross that line, it's a different shoot. It's got to be.
You know, we should do one where I pull out all the before and after pictures.
I think it's eye-opening. I think it's really eye-opening. I think every once in a while media shows you a cover of a magazine, but this is really what happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys all soon. Thank you.